Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. I hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend. Maybe you were with your mom or your family celebrating the moms and grandmothers in your life. Or maybe with your daughter who's now a mom. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, everyone has a mother. But some relationships can be pretty strained. We all know this. If that's your situation, I pray you find comfort in knowing that if your relationship with your mom's on the rocks, there's always hope. Today's guest is a testament to the redeeming grace found in Jesus. She's Donna Fisher. Donna published a book with us recently called Change of Pace. It's about her painful childhood and her really difficult years with her mother. You can find that book in our bookstore at AACC.net. It's really taken off, and you don't want to miss this conversation. I think it's going to set your week off in the right direction. Here now is my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, with Donna Fisher.
Donna Fisher, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Zach.
I am so grateful for you. Before we actually dive into the meat of the interview, I just wanted to share this personally. From me and my family, we have a deep love and appreciation for you, for your husband, Herb, for your daughters, Beth and Bonnie. You are family to us, so I am incredibly grateful for you and all that you mean to us. But to better acquaint yourself with our listeners today and our audience, I would love for you to just press the rewind button, and I'd love for us to go back because you have quite a story, quite a testimony. I'd love for you to share just a little bit about that testimony, what life was like for you growing up, and maybe some of the critical experiences that you have gone through in life that have shaped and molded the incredible woman you are today.
Thank you. I'll go back and try and remember some of the good parts in my young lives that was not very happy. I lived on a farm, so I was the farmer's daughter. The farmer's daughter had to work a lot. And every day I woke up, I hurt. I was in pain. And somehow my family didn't understand that it was actually a curvature of the spine that I was born with. I didn't find that out till I was about 15 years old. So every day, farm work was so hard for me. And if I'd cry, my mother would say, "Well, I think I'll give you something to cry about," and she'd beat me. I thought I'd never relive this. So I lived this way for a long time, and in my little prayers I prayed. I love this Cinderella story. I felt if Cinderella could get out of her little time of being abused as a child, maybe I could. So all I could do was cry at night, cry myself to sleep, and pray, hoping that God heard me. So as I was growing up, my brother one day told me, he always was teasing me, and he'd go, "Unless you ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to hell." Mm. I went, "Well, what's that? I don't want to go there," but he didn't tell me how to ask Jesus into my heart. I lived with that. One day I came home from school and there was no one on the farm. My father wasn't there. My mother wasn't there. My little baby sister wasn't there. And I went out in the garden and I looked up and said, "Jesus, am I so ugly that you didn't take me to heaven with the family? I'm so sorry, Jesus. Please change your mind." I cried and cried until I heard that old Buick coming up the lane. My mother was coming home late from an appointment. But that shocked me into wanting to ask Jesus into my heart. So I asked my family how to do that. And they said, "You're too young to understand." I was 8 years old. I really believe Jesus did come into my heart that time, because I had a peace about my anxiety that I lived in. As I grew up, and God actually, as Cinderella, did bring me my Prince Charming to my farm, as
That's
I prayed,
right.
And he swept me off my feet into a land of happiness, I thought. But I didn't know how to love this man because I wasn't loved. And it was hard days. My husband decided that working was one of the best things he could do. So he just went head on into a real estate business, and he was gone a lot. I thought a baby would make me happy, so I had a baby. I miscarried the first baby, and I thought that was, again, God coming after me, not happy with me. Why would I lose a baby? That was something I wanted so much. But then I had sweet little Beth, and then I had little Bonnie. And what do you think I did, Zach, to those precious little girls? I started treating them like my mother was after me. I was doing the same things to them. I was hurting them and then saying I'm sorry. Every night I'd go into their bedroom and put my hand on their heads and pray, "Lord, forgive me if I hurt my little girls." And it was an elderly woman who came to my rescue. She was friends of a counselor. And this counselor was the sweetest woman. And she really saw women like me who hurt, and we couldn't figure out why we were hurting. And she felt like that it could have been sins from the past, generational sins. She said, "We can be healed from that." So she invited about 8 women, this counselor, into her home in the living room where she had a fireplace burning. And she said, "Now I want you all to know God's love. It's God's love. You don't know who God is in a personal way, so you can't ask him to even forgive you because you don't know him."
Right.
But he will. So she had this wonderful little service. We had 6 weeks. 1 week she said, "I think you should put down on paper those people who have hurt you." And I'm thinking, well, my mother hurt me. I never hurt her. I didn't. And not that I knew that I would have hurt her. And so I put my mother's name down, got up and went to that fireplace and threw that paper in, and I burned it. She said, "Now, that's the burning of the beginning of a healing of memories." So I decided, oh, this is good now. That's behind me. The following week, she said, "Now you need to go to those people that have hurt you and say you're sorry." Well, I immediately got defensive. Sorry for what?
Right.
And then this sweet counselor said, "Sorry for your attitude toward your mother." I said, "You're right. I hate my mother. When she gets near me, I'm afraid that hand will reach out and hurt me like it always did as I was a child." She said, "Well, go and tell her that." whoa, it took a lot of courage for me to go to my mother and say, will you forgive me? I showed up without even telling her I was coming. And she said, well, what's the pleasure of this day? I went, I'm here to tell you I hate you. She started to cry. She said, Donna, I don't know how to love. I went, well, that's interesting. Neither do I.
Wow.
So I said, I want to start a new mother. I can't stand living like this. She said, neither can I. She said, let me tell you my story. My parents never hugged me. They never told me they loved me. They went 6 months without speaking. And then they used me as the go-between. And that's who I am. I don't know how to love. Wow. All of a sudden, I started having sympathy for my mother.
Yes.
I went, Mother, stand up. I want a hug from you. We hugged each other and cried like two adult women who needed God. As her arms are around me and her hands, I'm thinking, these are the same arms and hands that hurt me. And now we're asking for forgiveness and healing. And then it came to me, this is what Jesus did for me. He died on a cross. He suffered. People hurt him and beat him, but he forgives all the sins that all of us have done. So it was a new beginning for my mother and I. And I said, Mother, we need to do something that we can be together with without anxiety. What could we do? So I thought about, well, how about a Bible study? Let's start a Bible study. You and I don't know the Bible very well. She goes, well, I sure don't know the Bible. There's nothing that I could do to teach or help. But I went, oh, no, you're the best baker in the world. You make all those good baked goods.
Come on.
And I'll find a teacher who will teach us. So I put a little ad in the paper, called it a non-denominational Bible study. The first morning I had 15 women, and they were from, everyone was from a different church.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of a Bible study that is now 50 years old. And I have seen more healing and more transformed lives through just the courage I had to start and let God do the work.
Wow. So. Let me tell you this, Miss Donna. Thank you so much for your vulnerability in sharing your story and some of those difficult details. Obviously, there was a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. But just to see the great repurposer that we serve, who can take broken things and make them beautiful again. And I'm reminded of maybe an audience member out there today who's in maybe a similar relationship, maybe to their mom or their dad, how you were able to develop the maturity to approach your mother and recognize that truth, that we can choose to forgive because we too have been forgiven.
Yes.
Donna, how does that person begin to take steps or strides toward forgiveness and reconciliation in those types of relationships today?
It's bending our knees, coming under the authority of Christ, letting him guide our lives. When I learned that the width and the height and the depth of God's love, he loved me that much. I didn't know that as a child. I didn't feel that. I've never was told that I was loved. When I asked my mother why she held my little sister more than me, she said, you're too big for my lap. That hurt me. That hurt me so deeply. But he healed that hurt. I was 30 years old when I had my first hug from my mother that day.
Wow. Wow. You know what's amazing to me is, you know, in the psychology space, we often find that families tend to reproduce themselves, right? And so that's kind of what I was hearing, was a reproduction of the same type of family unit dynamic. But look at the healing and the grace that God was able to extend to you, because I've been able to witness the love that you share with your husband, Herb, who is one of my greatest friends. He's like a father and a grandfather to me. I have a sincere appreciation and devotion to him, but also your daughters, Beth and Bonnie. Speak to just the importance and the change that you saw in your family from that day on.
Well, it was my dear husband who I felt he had become such a workaholic that I wasn't even you know, wasn't fun to be around anymore. And I wasn't. I was miserable with the pain that I carried. And then having two children and, oh, I was so afraid I'd be like my mother. And those were hard times to live through. But, you know, when I went through the healing of memories and I felt God's presence in my life, it flowed over to my husband. And he was saying, who is this woman? And now we're married 61 years.
61 years.
61 years. And you know what? I found the right man for me. God chose it. My father said I wasn't allowed to date till I was 16 years old. So at 16, there was a boy standing at the door waiting to date me. And I literally went out on my first date. And I was a nervous wreck because I didn't know what it's like to be with a man. So I went out and dated him. And after 3 weeks, he said, I want to marry you. I went, I'm 16. We only had a couple dates. He went, if I don't marry you, somebody else will. So I want to marry you. Well, this scared me. Like, what? Married? I didn't think about getting married. Right. So I said after about 3 months of dating him, I went, I'm finished with him. So there was another man waiting at the door. Then I let him go. Then there was another man. I had a total of 25 men waiting in line.
Hot commodities.
I don't know. I just didn't. I don't know what I was. I was just a cute little farmer's girl is all I can say. I don't know what else I was. But anyway, after the 25th one, I said, okay, God, I don't know who you want me to marry, but please give me a man of God, someone who will love me just the way I am, as ugly as my mother says I am. And at 16, I was still very ugly to her, very much beat up a lot. And I didn't know how to give love. So how was I going to get into a relationship with a man? So I said, I'm done. Close my heart. But when you know that the man of the hour is there for me, please open my heart so I will know it. My girlfriend and I, we decided one night to go buy dresses and then wear them to church and see if we could mess up the men. They wouldn't know who we are. We had our hair exactly the same. And that very night, we went to an evening service, and it was at a campground, so it was an open-air kind of a service. And Marion and I stood up to go back, to go out. I looked in the back. There was the most handsome man I ever laid eyes on. I kid you not. He had must have just come from the beach because he was a beautiful, tanned man. And I, oh, he's good looking. So he came and said to my friend, could I take you home? And she goes, Herb, you got the wrong woman. You wanted Donna. And you go, oh, yes, I did. So he went home, and that was the end of that, I thought. He called me that Wednesday and he said, you know, I really wanted to ask you to go home, to take you home. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not dating right now. He didn't give up. The next day, his cousin called and said, Herb really wants to date you. I said, okay, I'm not dating right now, but we had town fairs every fall in our area. So when it was New Holland Fair time that week, I said, have him come and we'll talk. I found myself looking all around. I want to see this handsome man again. And when my eyes laid on his, it was amazing. So we talked, and he said, could I take you home? I said, well, I brought a girlfriend because I'm not dating right now, so I just wanted to be safe and have this girlfriend with me. And he went, okay, I'll take her home too. We'll take you both home. So on the way home, he goes, where do you live? He said, I don't know where you live. I went, well, I live on a farm in Lititz. I said, you know what? My dad has been telling me there's a really nice, kind man, delivers feed 10 o'clock at night to our farm, and I'd love if you could come out and meet him sometime. Well, I was usually in bed long before 10 o'clock, so I never went out to meet him. But in my heart, I just knew. It was flipping around.
That's right.
I'm thinking, something's happening here. Oh, God, is this it? I told you to open it when it's time. And it was. That was my Herb.
Let me tell you this, Miss Donna. I love looking up to you guys and just seeing the marriage that you share. the love and the affinity that you have for one another. It's inspiring to my wife and I, Evelyn, who you know have been married now for 3 years, right? We're young in this marriage journey, but to look up to people like you, 61 years.
Yes, and I'd marry him all over again.
And you marry him all over again.
Sure would.
Hey, he's still that man of persistence. You know that. He's such a great person.
He's a man of faith, too.
That's right. You know, Donna, as we continue to kind of wrap up our conversation, though, together today, your new book coming out, Change of Pace, I'm interested. What's really at the heartbeat of it? Like, what's at the core? And what do you hope and pray every reader walks away with upon the conclusion of the pages?
Forgiveness. One word is forgiveness. Forgive those who have hurt you, or ask forgiveness to those you have hurt. It's all about the healing of the suffering Savior. There's peace and joy, contentment, when we lay it all down and let him be in charge of our lives.
I love that, forgiveness. And this is how I want to wrap it up, because when I look at you and I look at Herb, I think of the word legacy. And when I think of legacy, I'm reminded of the definition. That's not something you leave behind for someone. That's something you leave behind in someone. Ms. Donna Fisher, when you think of your life and you look back across all of the years, what's the legacy that you want to be remembered for?
I guess I would have to say just bringing others to the Savior. One of the things in my book that you'll find out, it's not about me. Mm. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the healing of the healing of Jesus. But there's a lot of people wrote in my book, a lot of women wrote their stories of how God's changed their lives through the Bible and how God has set them free. So I'm just hoping there'll be a freedom in women or men, even men who would read that book, would see that God does change lives.
Yes.
And we don't have to stay stuck.
Now, let me tell you this. If you're in the audience today, man or woman, and you're interested in starting a Bible study, take the courage. Have the courage, just like Donna did, just to simply say yes to Jesus. Where two or more are gathered, we know that Jesus is there. My friends, don't be afraid to do that today. Donna, let me ask you this. If there's somebody in the Pennsylvania area that may be interested in joining this Change of Pace Bible study that you're leading and heading up, where can they go to find out more?
Changeofpace.org. Go online and find us there. You'll see what we're doing and what we're studying at the moment.
Again, my friends, that's changeofpace.org. Be sure to reach out to Donna. She will give you all the necessary resources. Miss Donna Fisher, let me tell you something. You are a blessing to the church. You're a blessing to our family. Mm. We love and appreciate you so, so much.
You know, so do
on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your willingness to join us. Again, we love and appreciate you, my friend.
Love you too.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.